Here we go. It's the In the Blues Tone podcast. It's the first one of 2026. It's the 31st of March, 2026. Man, I've had nothing but problems trying to get my podcast back up online. I moved my website hosting to a new company, which have been great otherwise, with one exception that I can't embed audio in the same way that I used to from my previous host. So I'm unable to push new podcasts through. It's been a bit of a nightmare. So if you are listening to this, it's all working, but my suggestion is maybe unfollow the show, search for it and follow again. And the reason why is Spotify is now hosting all of my audio files. You'll still find it on all the podcasting, podcatching software apps and all that kind of thing. But eventually the old RSS feed link will time out. So if you added the RSS feed manually, then you'll need to add the new one. Or just search for the show and add it to your favorites again. I'm not going to re-upload all my old episodes. I feel like a lot of them were not very good. There were lots of great ones too, but you know, all the filler ones or the ones that just were me rambling about not a whole lot, I've just decided to leave them down. So I think the thing you should see if you are now looking at the show correctly is about almost 10 episodes. I've done like 10 of my favorite ones. I put them in the list. And if you are just seeing that list, then you're on the correct feed. And if you're seeing 101 shows or 111 shows or whatever it is, then you're on the old feed and that will eventually expire and it won't be updated. So switch over and you should be in business. But thank you again, everyone, for following the show and all that kind of stuff. I really appreciate it. One of the things I've done too is I'm clearing house mid-year this year, 2026. I've got a massive project already booked in. And I need to clear some stuff. So I'm selling a whole bunch of my lefty guitars, all of the right-handed guitars that I've showcased on the channel, as well as some amps. There's probably five or six guitars in total, five or six amplifiers in total at the Guitar Colonel, which is a consignment shop. So he makes a few bucks for selling stuff that I have on my behalf. So that's great. It's a win-win. I did a Guitar Search Saturdays episode at the Guitar Colonel about a month or so ago, and that video took off. So it was a whole lot of fun, and Anthony's a great guy, and I thought, what better way to support his business? And he helps me by just dumping a whole bunch of stuff, and he ships worldwide too. So if you're looking for my Gibson Flying V or the Mabry Fishhook S or the Vola Oz with the roasted maple fretboard, you're in luck. It's now currently available. All right, so I just wanted to talk a little bit about practice, because practice is one of those things that I think a lot of guitar players, including myself, sometimes are too heavily focused on the stuff, and the practice shed or the wood shedding option is the best way to improve your tone, your confidence, you know, everything. It really sort of separates you from feeling anxious about your playing, or you know, you're always at your best the more that you practice. And I've really started to work on my playing this year. It's funny, I didn't mention it to anybody, and it's been one of those things I've seen in the comments, man, your playing's great, like what are you doing and all that kind of thing. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I may do a full video about this as well, because it's I basically avoided theory for a long time, and every time I heard it I was like, I don't need theory, I play all right, you know, like for blues. And then I started listening to different players, and I was like, sometimes when I do certain things, say over a blues, it sounds fine, and other times it doesn't. And there were times where I was like, sometimes I can get away with certain ideas over certain chord changes, and other times I can't. So what's going on here? Anyway, I found this really great video from a dude on YouTube called Jamie. I've forgotten his last name now. That's really cool. Anyway, it's called Hitting the Blues Changes is the video. So I've started going through that and a couple of other videos which have been really helpful, talking about how to accent different changes when the blues progression is going. Now, inherently or without really understanding why, I was doing that a lot because I liked the sound of it. But there's a few things in that video that has completely changed the way that I'm approaching the fretboard. And I want to give you some heads up on how you can kind of approach blues if you know the minor pentatonic, for example, just to get you out of sounding exactly the same. So a lot of people, and including myself, when I look back at my old videos, I was just running the the minor pentatonic all over the fretboard. But there's a couple of things you can do that really change the way you sound and all that kind of stuff, including, you know, obviously learning different scales. But we're not going to talk about that. We're just going to talk about what to think about over a blues, because it really does work. So say, for example, you're playing in A, and A is the first chord. Start with a major lick. Start with a major. So play, if you only know the minor pentatonic, then move it down three frets and fiddle around with some ideas there, and that will give you the A major scale. So you can use all the same notes. Your landing note, meaning the one that you're going to end on, is slightly different. But once you work out where that is, you'll be fine, right? And you can basically transpose some of these ideas from three frets down in the major scale to the minor scale and vice versa. So you might already have a few licks in your bag that you can move around and make this work. So over the one, every time you come back to the A chord in the blues progression, you're playing major. Now, every time you go to the four chord, play a minor lick. So just play minor stuff over the four. And just by doing that, it'll sound great. It'll sound completely different to someone just running the A minor pentatonic over everything. Now, again, I do this a lot. I was messing around with the, you know, the B.B. King stuff and the Chris Kane stuff a lot over the A major. But I would also use it over the four, which still sounds good. And you can do that. You can kind of mess with some ideas that have a seventh sound to them or a slightly different sort of note choice. But if you play major, A major over the one or over the A chord, and then play minor pentatonic in your regular position over the four, so just straight up A minor pentatonic over the four, which is a D, then it sounds great. It really does. Now, again, there's no rules to this, but just experiment around. If you're feeling a bit stuck with your progress about like, oh man, I kind of, sometimes this works, sometimes that doesn't work, give it a shot. Now, I'm going to tell you a really cool trick here. So if you're playing over the E minor or the E change in blues, so the five, there's a couple of things you can do here. There's actually a lot of things you can do, but one of the things I didn't do enough of is play over E minor. So when it goes to the E, don't play A minor blues, play E minor blues. If the, say you're playing a slow blues, it'll work a bit easier because you don't have to try to, you know, fly up the fretboard and kind of make it work. But yeah, doing that will make you sound vastly different. And I'm going to give you another tip here. Albert King does this thing that I didn't know about. It's in B. It's, say you're in A again, right? We'll keep it in A. When you go to the five chord, the E, play B minor blues. So just move everything up from A minor blues to B minor blues only over the five and have a listen. It's pretty cool. So a lot of those crazy bends, basically he's playing in B minor over the five, and those little ideas there work beautifully. And there's other things you can throw in, but if you think about the fretboard or the blue, if you think more about the blues changes as you play rather than just noodling, that's a really great start. It will help you kind of, or I should say it's helped me think about it a little bit more. So that's a really simple thing you can take, all the stuff you know when you're playing like minor blues pentatonic scales, and move it around. So you're playing major over the one, you're playing the root chord minor blues over the four, and over the five you can play, say, E minor blues, right? So you're kind of already moving things around. Now, there's going to be times on certain songs where, you know, if it goes to a different chord, that's obviously not going to work, right? But it's just over a straight 12-bar blues. It's really cool. Now, something else I've been really conscious of, and I had to start really slow with this, was just the landing notes. Again, there was stuff where I've picked off other players over the years, and I was playing a lot of this, and I had no idea why it worked, like the thirds or playing the flat sevens and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's been a really sort of eye-opening thing to kind of get some understanding of why some of these notes worked and when they don't work. Because that's the thing, right? Like I used to play certain runs, and I'd be like, man, it works there, but it doesn't work over here, and why isn't this working? So this video, Hitting the Blues Changes, has been phenomenal for my learning. It's been unbelievable. I've been digging into it for a couple of months. I've been playing along with, you know, great players like Kirk Fletcher and Chris Kane and Guy King and Artu Menendez. I'm not sure how to say his last name, sorry, but phenomenal. There's a whole lot of really just great live music. And the more I watch these guys, the more I'm starting to see, I think I kind of get what they're doing. Now, they're obviously taking this to the next level. They're doing a lot of stuff between the chord changes, which is something I'm working on. I still haven't been able to get that out in my playing properly yet. But I tell you what, if you're hitting some of the notes of the chords that you're changing to when you change, so if you go to the four chord, hitting a few notes that relate to that chord, it immediately makes you sound like you're not noodling. It really absolutely changes the way you sound. So if you're playing over the A, just hit a couple of A notes. Everyone does that. But when you're hitting, when you go to the four and you go into the D, play a couple of Ds, accent those notes. And same for the E. And even just doing the roots, man, it makes such a big difference to the way your licks come out. And it also makes you think a little bit, because not only are you paying more attention to the chord you're on, you're also paying a lot more attention to where you need to land. And this messed me up for like 2 months. I was like, oh no, I can see what I wasn't doing and what I wasn't thinking about for a long time. And you know what? It's fine. Like you don't need to do this. I'm not saying you have to go out and do it. All I'm saying is if you're bored with your playing like I was for a while, then you need to learn some new stuff. You need to find the thing that, you know, takes you to the next level. And I was lucky enough to not only be inspired by a lot of great players, but also finding this video at the right time really changed my outlook on playing. And the more I've worked at it, the more I'm starting to play licks through chords. And when I go to the four, I now have a whole lot of different ideas I can play in that chord change that I wouldn't have played before, or occasionally I would have, but not known why it worked. So one of the things I'm going to share with you, because I feel like it's one of those things a lot of blues players have tried, is when you go to the four, you know, you can't get away with playing D minor blues over the four change, for example. So if you're in A, you go to the four, which is the D, you can't play D minor. And I kind of knew that. I was like, oh, some of the notes kind of work and some don't. And this video kind of breaks down why you can do certain things over the four and why you can't do certain things over the four. And it's been great. And the more I've been soaking this in step by step and learning like the thirds and where those notes are in combination with thinking more about where all the landing notes are for the chord changes, and just it's opening up the fretboard like I can't believe. And I'm still not that fluent with it yet, but it's coming. It's really getting there. I've been listening to a lot of, as I said, Chris Kane and Kirk Fletcher playing together. And they're great at playing runs. They're almost like keyboard runs that work going from the five to the four, and not the same old sort of tired Stevie Ray stuff. Like, you know, Stevie Ray's amazing, but everyone plays that kind of seventh idea thing. These guys play melodically going from five to four. And it's so refreshing for my ear. It's that jazz kind of thing without it being jazz. It's still not really, I guess what am I trying to say? I guess the idea is a jazz thing. It doesn't sound like jazz. It sounds like great melodic sort of blues run. To my ear anyway, I could be wrong. But yeah, it's just been interesting to sort of go into this out of frustration and sort of come out with almost a fresh sounding approach to playing guitar. Now, anytime you add stuff to your bag, and I'm guilty of this too, I need to spend more time working on simple things until they're burned into my repertoire. Otherwise, what will happen is I'll learn a whole lot of stuff. I'll get up and I want to play a whole lot of stuff and it's a mess. So practice, you know, if you learn a change from the five to the four, or you you know, you're playing the major over the one or the minor over the four. Just focus on that and find out, you know, different things that can really work to, you know, your playing standard and fluidity and all that kind of thing, and just burn it in until you can hum it. And once you can sing it in your mind and play it, that's when things really start to happen. And I'm kind of getting there with a whole lot of runs I'm learning that connect the one to the four chord, playing through chords that aren't there. And it's been an exciting kind of time. I you might have heard some of those ideas coming out very slowly on the videos, but I tell you what, man, just practicing most days has helped me to no end. Like, my playing is feeling so good for my standard, and this is all just up to my standard. I'm sure 90% of people watching are much better players than me, but I know when I'm practicing, everything's easier. I can play clean on an amp and it sounds tidy. I don't need to cover it up with distortion or any of that, right? So yeah, it's been the most helpful thing for my playing, to the point where, you know, I did a gig the other night. Actually, I did two gigs. I did a gig on a Saturday at this music festival in Melbourne, Australia. And I took the PV Bandit and I took my ES-335, my Epiphone, had my Royal Flush overdrive pedal on the floor, and it was great. I didn't think to myself, man, I need a better amp. Man, I need a better guitar. I'd put in the time to practice, and the room was, they lit up. I was like, man, this is crazy. I kind of can't believe it. And it's funny, we play there every year. And I received maybe the nicest compliment I've ever heard. And these guys only hear me play once a year there. And he said, man, every time you're here, you're better than last time. I thought, oh, thank you. You know, I always record at home and I do all that kind of stuff, but I was never really doing enough, like, practice with intention. It was always like, oh, I'll just practice what I know. No. That's good. That can get your fluidity up, but then you're on autopilot and you tend to sort of play the same things a lot. I think snapping my thought process out from that to now, let's try and move some things around and do some chromatic runs and play between the chord changes a little bit and, you know, move the position of what I'm doing around. It's really starting to work. And it's, yeah, it's one of those things I can highly encourage everyone. Just Google Jamie Arendt is his name. It's not spelt as it sounds, but yeah, check out Hitting the Blues Changes. That video, once I get through it, I'm going to drop that dude like $50. it is so good. It's like unbelievable. It's completely changed my approach. You know, a little while back, I started adding in some of the ideas I got from that video into just a couple of the blues things. And immediately people were like, oh man, that's great. Like, you know, the playing's different. And I was like, oh, just by adding a half step here or there and thinking a little bit more about it has, you know, completely changed that approach. But it's also been, it's not all smooth sailings, right? Like, I guess the thing I realized I didn't know well enough was I couldn't, in that moment I was playing any note, tell what note I was playing. I knew some of them, obviously, on the E and the A string and the other E string and the B string. I can pretty much call out those notes. But there were times where I'd have to think about it because I'd be like, oh, what's that note? Oh, yeah, in reference to this string over here, two steps up and back, it's this note. I guess that was one of my big weaknesses for a long time. I never thought I really needed to worry about that too much. And now that I'm starting to understand the relationship of different notes to chord changes, there's no quick way around that. So if you do go through this video, just start with one thing at a time and burn it into your playing. I should have done that more at the start too, because I was like, oh, I've learned this. Oh, I can learn that. And then all of a sudden you, in the moment, you can't remember all of it or most of it or any of it. So just stick with one section at a time. And he goes through everything that, like, takes your playing from just a minor pentatonic player going up and down the scales, or, you know, you might be pulling licks from Clapton or whoever you've learnt licks from, but the relationship to why things work when they work is what you'll learn. And Yeah, I think it's great. I've really enjoyed sort of trying to take my playing to the next level again. You know, it's one of those things. A lot of people make excuses, and I'm guilty of this too. Oh, you know, learning's hard. It always is. But I know a lot of people that will say, oh, I'm too old to learn this or that or whatever. Rubbish. You've got to put in the time. You know, I maybe learn a couple of new licks a year, things that I can play without thinking. But this is completely going to and already has started to change my approach. It's opened up the fretboard. I did this gig on the Saturday night. Dr. Rick was there actually, and he said, man, your ideas are crazy. You're just like flowing. There was no dead air. Like, not that I didn't put any phrasing in, but it was just like the ideas were just there. And I think that comes from practice and also comes from intention of what can I play over this that makes it interesting. Yeah, it's funny. I sometimes reply to a lot of comments. Well, I do quite a bit actually, but you know, on videos that are quite old, I still get comments on them. So occasionally I'll, you know, comment back and answer questions. And I just have a quick look at the jam track. I think it's a good learning curve to see if you've actually progressed. I was like, man, yeah, you know, some of those ideas 5 years ago were good, but I've changed as a player and I can hear that now. I still do a lot of the same stuff. I've got my sound. People can still hear that it's me, but you know, a lot of the chromatic runs that I use now between link and chords, I now sort of understand why it works, and you can take that idea and move it around. You don't have to just play it in one spot. There's a lot of stuff that's going on in my mind now it's kind of blowing my mind a little bit with how I'm starting to see things. And again, the execution part of it, being able to play it in the context of a jam session is a completely different thing, but it's the start. So the more you practice with intention, the more you can add these ideas into your repertoire, and the sooner things are going to change. And you know, sometimes it's just like those little light bulb moments, like, oh, if you play over the four, you can accent this note. And it's like, oh, that sounds so good. Or this note, oh, that sounds even better. And that one that sounds weird on its own, but over the four, it sounds glorious. And it's not even part of the blues scale, right? So it's, yeah, or the minor sort of pentatonic scale. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's, how come that works? You know, those are the questions that are being answered. And yeah, I just wanted to share with you a little bit of an update on it, because it's learning. You know, it comes from frustration too. I guess doing what I do on YouTube, I see a lot of channels where they're either absolute wizards, you know, with that metal guitar stuff, or, you know, a lot of dudes can barely play. Like, I see no progress in their playing over the course of 5 years or a year or 2 years. Like, I looked at a few guys I used to follow and kind of used to chat to a bit back in the day, and they just haven't improved, like, musically. And that should be the goal. As much as the gear side of it is fun and all that, I think the intent to improve, even from a personal level, should be higher than everything else. So I'm literally adding practice as part of my weekly routine now. Not every day now. I'm probably practicing every second day, like actually practicing. And that can look different depending on the day. It could be that I want to learn something new, or I want to go back over something I've already learned, or I want to jam to some backing tracks and approach it with, without the muscle memory way I probably did it in the past. So yeah, it's definitely high on my list of things this year I want to improve, and I am improving. It's a slow process, but when the light bulbs go off and you say, why does this work? And then you try something else and you go, oh, now I get why this works. You know, it's those moments that all of a sudden open up the fretboard. And I can't recommend that video enough. So if you at all are interested in making your blues playing sound more interesting, listen to more interesting players and check out, also check out the Hit the Blues Changes video. It's 30 minutes. It's like a masterclass of ideas. And I think I was just too ignorant enough to want to learn some of this stuff. You know, I play a lot of chords I didn't even know were like diminished chords and all this kind of stuff. I just like the sound of them. and I'd apply them in a way I thought sounded good. And I didn't sort of understand that, like, what was going on with some of that, even that stuff either. It's been really eye-opening. Now, as a blues player, you don't want to get too caught up in your own head playing. There's a lot of guys who play a lot of notes. They play fast, they play a lot of notes, and they go nowhere. They'll solo for 3 minutes and it sounds exactly the same the whole way through. Like, they lose the feel. They're just playing fast and complicated for the sake of it. And then you hear guys like Guy King or Chris Kane and all these other dudes who can play beautifully. Like, it can be complicated, and some of it is, but they can also, like, just make it absolutely sing, you know? And that's the difference. You can hear their lines and sing them back once you've heard them play a few times. And yeah, that's the kind of thing that's really sort of, like, inspired me to learn. There's another guy too. I played on the following night on a Sunday, hosting the jam set with this local guy, Mark. And he plays like T-Bone Walker. So he plays through the chords. He's got a real melodic way of playing. He also plays like a few other guys as well, but he never wastes notes. Everything he plays is great. He could play a little two-note thing and move it around with the chords, and it sounds unreal, and you can sing it in your head. You know, the sign of a good guitar solo is one you can sing back. It doesn't matter how easy or complicated it is. Think like Black Magic Woman, for example, or, you know, John Mayer's Gravity, or whatever it is, Wonderful Tonight, Layla, all these parts, they're not that hard, but they're memorable. And this guy, Mark, plays like that. I was listening back to the set. I actually filmed it. And I was like, man, these ideas are so good. Like, I literally sound, if I hadn't have learned anything new, I would have just sounded like I was playing just predictable minor rubbish. But instead, now I had an understanding of how to, not obviously I'm nowhere near this dude's level. He's an amazing player, and I wouldn't ever say that, but yeah, I was like, okay, my approach has changed enough in the last 6 months where I don't just sound like I'm running up and down minor pentatonic or throwing in the BB King scale randomly. Like, there's some ideas formulated. Are they melodic? No. Mark's the king of that. But these are things that are starting to come out of my playing. And, you know, as we were sort of going around some of these swings and shuffles and that, I was thinking to myself, yeah, I can throw this in over here and this is going to sound really nice because it's accenting the five or the four. And yeah, these are just little cool tricks to sort of, you know, keep you going, keep you motivated, keep you learning and keep it fun, because it's so easy to not practice when you around gear all the time. It's really easy to just go on autopilot, do your video and move on. And I see that with a lot of players on YouTube. A lot of them just, unfortunately, just haven't wanted to improve, or they just haven't improved. They're focusing more on their videos than they are on their playing. And it shows. I do both. I've always tried to get my video quality up, and I want to improve every year. That's at least the goal. But it's been slow the last few years for me, I guess because I haven't really been doing much live playing. I hurt my forearm, I tore a tendon, and it really made playing or wanting to practice pretty hard for a while. But yeah, this year has just been like the most personal growth I've had with the guitar. And I should also point out the reason I'm not doing as many sort of pedal reviews and all that kind of stuff, I'm still throwing them in, but I'm not doing as many of traditional analog pedals, is so I can make time to practice. I think it's all part of this, of the journey I'm on, whatever that is, you know, I love doing my videos, but I also want to make time to improve. And if I'm not improving personally, it's frustrating. I find it frustrating. And you got to hit that point where you go, okay, I'm going to dive into the deep end and find some things that are going to confuse me, and that's fine. But if I attack it one step at a time, all of a sudden I have a better understanding of things. And yeah, it's been fulfilling to put the time back into guitar, because I love playing guitar. But when I don't love playing guitar, it's when I'm inundated with videos of stuff that I should have said no to, or I'm just sort of going through the motions with it, which is kind of what it's felt like lately. So Long story short, if you can make time to practice, do it. It really improves everything. Even if it's just going over what you know, get it to a point where you have your confidence up and fluidity up of how you approach guitar, and certain licks and things should feel easy, but and rhythmically as well. Make sure you practice your chords and all that kind of thing. But yeah, the more I've sort of stepped out from the sort of like the standard players I was listening to and wanting to incorporate some of this sort of outside stuff into my playing without it being weird. Just adding an extra note here or there on the chord changes made a massive difference. It really has, and it makes your playing really stand out. If you just noodle through a 12-bar blues without hitting any sort of reference notes on what chord you're on or where the changes are, it just sounds like you're running scales. So that's the thing that's changed. I'm like much more aware where I already knew where the four was, but I'm much more aware of hitting notes that relate to that. And those little changes can make a massive difference. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. It's been on my mind lately, and I thought this might be a good opportunity to share some of the, I guess, behind the scenes stuff of what goes on in my mind with guitar, because I love playing blues. I'm really enjoying it now that I'm not hearing the same ideas come through or the same uncertainty in maybe this will work, maybe that won't work. I'm feeling a lot more confident with my choices because now they've got it's like a solid frame of reference. And I'm sure, you know, people are saying to themselves who are listening to this, man, you don't need theory to play blues. Jimi Hendrix didn't need theory. You know what? He knew more about the fretboard than I think anyone ever would ever understand. And if you're if you're an active listener and you can hear things and go, I don't need to know that because I know it's this note, then you're the man. Because, you know, while I can do that with a lot of simple blues stuff, I can hear the idea or visualize the idea in my head when I hear blues licks. I might not know exactly what chord it's in or key, but I can tell, oh, this is what they're playing. When it came to this out-of-the-box sort of stuff, I couldn't hear it, and I didn't know what it was because I wasn't listening to those players. And the more that I'm listening to the guys I've already mentioned a few times, the Guy Kings and the Chris Kanes and the Kirk Fletchers and the Arturo Menendez guy, like the more I'm listening to, oh, that's where that fits. You know, I learned that, and I've never been able to get it to work, or... Oh, that's that note over the four. Man, that's nice. What's that run? You know, like these are things that are now becoming part of my listening DNA, whereas before I'd be like, I don't know what that is. Now I'm like, oh, now I have a frame of reference for it's either this or that, and usually I'm right now. So it's kind of cool to get this new stuff, you know, comfortably in your ears and also get it like into your... just everyday listening. The active listening, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, makes a huge difference. If you're hearing stuff and you're not... I left the sound effect on, sorry. If you're listening to stuff and you're not really, like, visualizing it, then you need to learn a little bit about what that is. And I'm still a long way off from understanding a lot of the Chris Kane stuff and the Guy King stuff, but I'm starting to understand the approach, find some of the notes that they're accenting, and understanding why those work, and it really makes a massive difference. So, yeah, that's it. That's it. The first audio-only podcast of 2026, I think. It's the 31st of March. Thank you so much for listening and watching, and not watching. It's just listening on this one. I'm still waking up. It's early. I just thought I'd get one of these out onto the new platform so everyone can be aware that, if you did manually add the RSS feed from back in the day, it's time to do an update. So just search for In The Blues Tone Podcast on whatever it is you listen to. As of right now, I think the Apple Podcast and Spotify 100% have it. If you're using something else, I'll be adding all of those in very soon. Or you can manually add the RSS feed from Spotify too. There's that option. But thank you. I hope this has been helpful to some extent. And stay tuned for mid-year. Again, one of the things I wanted to do was mix up the channel, and I do my best to bring a mix of different content. And mid-year, if all goes well with the fuel stuff that's going on and all that kind of thing, then you're in for a treat. Hopefully, there'll be a whole bunch of fun content, and I'm improving my chops for a reason. So stay tuned for hopefully the big reveal. Anyway, thank you again. Catch you soon. See ya. I need some new bumper music. This is the one built into the Rodecaster Pro. I'll catch you on the next one. See ya.